Leaders of 25 European nations are gathering in Brussels today to try to resolve differences over the European Union's first ever constitution. There are serious differences over power and money that threaten to divide the EU. Poland and Spain are insisting on voting rights equal to those of much bigger countries such as Germany and France. NPR's Nick Spicer is covering the summit. Why does the European Union need a constitution?
First of all, because the EU is getting bigger and the decision-making process is proving to be unwieldy. There will be 10 new members added to the current 15 next May, most of them from Central Europe. Another goal of the constitution drafters is to bring the EU closer to its citizens by drafting a text with inspiring language like the U.S. Constitution. What they want to do is unify different treaties written over 50 years of European integration into a single clear document saying what the European Union can and cannot do. Finally, they want to increase the profile of the European Union on the world stage. The EU will soon be the world's largest economy, but it still remains a pipsqueak in geopolitical terms, so they want to create the post of a common foreign minister for Europe to give it a stronger defense policy as well.
But the members have disagreements.
Well, about money and power, as you were saying, the big clash people are waiting for is between most of Europe and two medium-sized countries, Spain and Poland, which are threatening to reject the Constitution unless the changes that it calls for are abandoned. Those changes basically would take away a very advantageous deal these two countries were promised 3 years ago, which will give them voting weight nearly as important as that of France, Britain, and Germany in 2009. Now, Germany has 82 million people and is larger than Poland and Spain together. So this is not basically fair in democratic terms. France and Germany are telling Poland and Spain they have to take the Constitution as it is. It's a take-it-or-leave-it deal. We've spent over a year drafting this, they say. And they're warning that there may be less money for these two countries, which get a lot of EU handouts, if they don't toe the line.
And if they fail to reach agreement?
The 25 countries are supposed to agree this weekend. They could, however, decide to continue into early next year. If the constitution talks fail, the EU won't explode. We'll still have the euro. Policies like the common commercial and farming policy will continue. Even if there is a deal this weekend, if there's too much acrimony between the leaders, that could endanger the ratification of the constitution by national parliaments and, in some cases, by national voters. There is, polls say, an increasing disapproval of the EU inside the EU. Less than half of people think it's a good thing. And if leaders end this in a shouting match, they won't win any converts to the European cause.
Is there anything being decided in Brussels that will affect relations with the United States?
Well, the White House has been following talks on creating a common defense policy very closely over the past 7 months. And overnight, France, Britain, and Germany, the key military powers in Europe, did agree to a deal to create a military planning body, which will actually be part of NATO. That was what the White House was worried about. They thought it would be outside of NATO. Another possible positive outcome is the creation of a European foreign minister, someone Secretary of State Colin Powell could deal with in times of crisis. However, that person's usefulness will depend, of course, on how much power he or she is ultimately given.
NPR's Nick Spicer.